Welcome to Lilas. If you grew up in the 90s, then you probably know what that stands for. But if not, we love you like a sister. Welcome to the show.
Amen, right? I love hearing you say that. It just rolls off your tongue beautifully. It makes me so happy. It reminds me of
I've
Signed
said
Notes
it.
again.
I've said it 35 times now, at least.
I know you're really
35
good
episodes
at
worth.
it, which is awesome.
We always kind of say, like, this show's for everybody. We know we have some male listeners, but I would say today is probably more for the ladies in general, for the real sisters, because if you don't have a menstrual cycle, then you probably don't care about what we have to say today.
That's very fair. Unless you're very inquisitive about learning more about your wife or your partner, then we appreciate that as well. But this is definitely one for the ladies, I think, just overall.
Well, you might want to share the information with your wife or your partner. But at any rate, today we're going to talk a little bit about aging, of course, because it's always at the top of our minds. And of course, this is a mental wellness podcast. And so we're always looking for anything to improve our overall well-being, including our mental health. We know it's all connected, head to toes. And so today's topic is something that we are not experts on. We want to say that first and foremost. It's something kind of new to both of us that we have been researching and trialing, but very interested in. And so we wanted to share it with our listeners and see if anybody out there is also interested in cycle syncing, and just to kind of put it out there. And if you haven't heard of it, hopefully today we'll give you some insight and, you know, do some of your own research.
You know, I think one of the coolest things about doing this podcast is, you know, we all have our own views and thoughts about what wellness is and what that looks like, but to be able to talk to like your bestie about it and hearing what you have to say about it, I just think that my depth and level of interest in things has just expanded substantially. Like, would I have ever looked into this as a topic? Probably not.
Right.
Since you mentioned it as an interest and started just casually talking about how impactful it can be on your life and just how that information can transcend to our responses and just everything else, it just really, it's cool to have a relationship and a friendship like that where you can just be like, hey, I found this really cool thing out. What do you think? And then here we are today, now sharing it with our podcast listeners to see what you all think about this. So it's good to have these conversations. It's good to have this openness and venue to be able to discuss these fun things.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of forcing us in some ways, right, to look into new ideas. I mean, I'm game to try anything. I've tried, like I've said before, I've tried every diet, most exercise programs. Like, I'll do anything to improve general wellness. And so anytime I see something sort of up and coming in the health and fitness industry, I follow a lot of like fitness influencers, those types of things. And so when you start to see things over and over again, it's like, oh, maybe I want to like check into that. What is that? You know, like intermittent fasting a decade ago or whatever it is. I'll try anything once. So when I started hearing about cycle syncing, I was actually in a yoga class. Gosh, this was probably 2 years ago. And there was like a special guest, if you will, at the yoga class, and she was starting a business of helping women regulate their menstrual cycles. And she was like, follow me on Instagram. So I started following her. And at first I was just, I read through it and I was like, oh, cool. Why don't, you know, it's when we talk about cycles, I mean, obviously we know what a menstrual cycle is, right? I mean, we're women. We all sat through health class. We have a general idea, but it's always been in relationship to conceiving, or at least from my, you know, from my
or experience. Not conceiving, right?
Right. How do you prevent it, or how do you improve your chances as you get older? You know, if you struggle with fertility, those types of things. But I had never really thought about my cycle in terms of general health and wellness and how it can reflect so much information. Right. So it gives you information about your overall health and wellness, but it can give you some real insight or at least some validation for the way that our emotions and the way our body feels and all the things that we go through in a month. And so I'm trying to think when I actually started delving into this about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I can't remember. Oh, I know what it was. I had gone to the doctor last year. I'd gone to my OB and I told her that my cycles had changed since I had turned 40. Uh-huh. It shortened quite a bit. And she's like, well, yeah, you know, that's just normal. Like, you know, perimenopause, like you're kind of, you're in that age range, like things change. Uh-huh. I went home and being like, F that. Like, I refuse to believe that we just like dry up and die as women. And so, you know, I of course was still like plugging along. Like last year was a lot of self reflection, a lot of mm-hmm. self exploration, just trying to do some like real inner work. Mm-hmm. And this started like coming up again on like some of the influencers I follow. And so I really started to look into it a couple months ago and I've just learned so much. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I downloaded this app. It's called 28.
Yeah.
And you put in your specific information. And so similar, like if you were trying to get pregnant, there were apps out there for that too. And it would tell you like, this is the weekend to like get busy, like, you know, that kind of stuff. This is similar, but it's more related to like, here's how you're probably feeling. These, you know, these are what your hormones are doing. Like it's very specific and like your hormones are plummeting today. You're probably going to be extra moody. You're probably, you know, experiencing bloating, blah, blah, blah.
So and hold on. The app tells you this?
Tells you all of this. It goes through like
what?
These different, insights. So there's like
oh
your
gosh.
Emotions might feel. And the best part about this, this is what I found really cool, because of course I'm a data research nerd, but like it links the research articles, like the scientific evidence to back up what it's saying. So it's not like some person, you know, uh-huh. said, how you feel, you're probably bloated today. It's like, click this link, you know, it's like got a hyperlink and you can go and actually see like 1,000 studies demonstrated blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And so I like that it gives you that scientific evidence. And I mean, it gives you all kinds of stuff. It'll tell you like, you know, relationship wise, like,
oh my gosh,
there are some suggestions. It links like specific workouts you can do based on what phase of your cycle you're in. So I have found it to be so informative and also, just validating on so many levels, like anxiety. I didn't realize your anxiety increases as your estrogen goes down. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that in like the last 2 days. I mean, now everybody's going to know my cycle. I'm in the luteal phase. I'm about to start menstruation. So I'm at the end of my cycle right now. And I've had more anxious, feelings like heart racing, like those types of like physical symptoms that I get. In the last 2 days, but when I open my app, it's telling me this is completely related to my hormones right now. And I'm like, okay, I'm not about to dive into another cycle of panic attacks. My estrogen is lower. So like, I'm just changing things, which is all what cycle syncing is about. It's about supporting your hormones so that you can lessen these symptoms over time. Right.
How so, cool. So it sounds right? like, yeah, you just even having that, I guess, correlation between the anxiety and then your cycle, you automatically felt better about life. Like everything right. was just like, oh, okay, I'm cool.
Yeah. Instead of going down, you know, the tunnel vision yeah. of like, oh my gosh, is my anxiety coming back? I've been regulating it so well and things have been going so well and I haven't been experiencing like heart palpitations, you know, like all of these things, mm-hmm. Heart, you know, racing thoughts. And it's like, no, bitch, your estrogen is low and you're about to get your period. And 1,000 studies have shown that women's anxiety increases during these few days right before your menstruation starts, right? So it was like, okay, like go through the motions, right? Do all the things that you know work for you. Mm-hmm. Ice on the chest, which I am forever grateful that you taught me that because that is like such a game changer. I take a cold shower every day, mm-hmm. like as ice cold as I can get it, like anything where I have to take a deep breath, but specifically on these days when I'm experiencing more anxiety than normal. Mm-hmm. So, right, you're just doing all the things and it regulates so much faster and you're not in a downward spiral. So I like I said, I will do anything to help regulate my body and my sensory system.
Wow. Well, the two are so connected with this. So that app does sound like it's been incredible just whenever it comes to those personal observations, validation, mm-hmm. like you said, and grounding. And then what else are you, I mean, how did you even get onto this? You said from influencers, but then you mm-hmm. also went to your doctor. So you're not just making like on the whim kind of, you know, social media based decisions, which is a thank God, right? Because we could end up in some, not just rabbit holes, but trash holes on that one.
Well, right? Yeah. So again, we're midlifers, right? We're post 40. We know that perimenopause is a thing at this point, and it's coming down the pike, headed our way. And so what can we do? I just kept thinking about what can I do on the prevention side? I don't want to be reactive about everything in life. Mm-hmm. And so I did have my hormone levels checked to see just a baseline. Like it's not going to get a ton of information unless you do have some sort of deficit. But mine were normal. And it was like, okay, check, like that's normal. So that's good in a lot of ways in that, like this app is probably going to be more consistent with what I'm feeling from day to day. I've tracked my cycles for a long time. Like I just have always been such a textbook gal, a 28 day gal by the book. You know, I was on birth control forever, it felt like. Mm-hmm. And then my husband got snipped. I went off of it and everything sort of changed. Like my body changed, my cycles changed, my moods changed, all the things changed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just started tracking all of these things. And like I said, noticed they were shorter. So yes, went and had my hormones checked. And then as I've started to think about, okay, everything is normal. So let's mm-hmm. look at how we can support our body through each one of these phases. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot about like the foods that you eat. It's a lot about the types of exercises you do. And I exercise every day. So I'm like, why am I still gaining 5 pounds every month? Not like, you know, gain 5 pounds, lose. It's water weight. It's water retention. You know that it's probably related to your period. But if you can do things like eat certain foods, do certain types of exercise that help regulate those hormone levels, why not? It's going to make those PMS symptoms reduce, all mm-hmm. the things. You may not like lose your shit every day during your luteal phase. Like, you know, it just helps make everything a little bit easier. Is it going to take all your symptoms away? No, mm-mm. it's not. But it's going to lessen them. And I am here for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's cool that, again, in being a consumer of knowledge and then data to get your to advocate in some ways to get your hormone levels checked by your GP, because that's not a typical thing that happens on panels. No. And I know we're not going like full medical on this. But two, I think as women or as, you know, we're trying to make all of these personal health improvements, it is important for us to remember we have to be our own advocates sometimes when going into our general practitioner. They have an agenda that they are running through based upon different criteria that they have to meet per regulation and whatever else. But also you need to go into those appointments with your own agenda so that way you can get this information. And having mm-hmm. baseline data is sometimes the best thing to know if there's anything later on down the road that could signify a change. And so since you have that, that's like gold, you know, that you're just sitting on, waiting until the value goes up or down and then figure some things out with it, you know? So,
yeah, really you have to check everything first and foremost, I think. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we are not experts on this by any means. I certainly am just kind of like trial and error, like rolling with it as I go, learning more mm-hmm. every day. But it's definitely something that I'm interested in. And I've already seen a change, I've been very conscientious about what I've eaten, you know, water intake. I've drastically cut the amount of alcohol. Not that I've always been a huge mm-hmm. alcohol consumer, but like anybody, I socially drink and not anybody, but like most people, some people, I don't know. I socially drink, but like even just trying to be more mindful, like there are certain, you know, phases of your cycle. We have 4 phases. Certain phases where alcohol is going to impact your hormones more. Mm-hmm. And have more side effects. And so just being really conscientious about what you're taking in, how that's going to affect you, and ultimately how you're going to be able to handle stress. I mean, I think that's a big one. Like, we're in that season of life right now that just comes with a lot of stress. We have a marriage, we have young children, we have careers, we have a crap ton of responsibilities, we have aging parents. Yeah. You know, the list goes on and on, and it just, sometimes it feels overwhelming. And so if you can help support yourself, and I almost think of it like support from the inside, right? Mm-hmm. So how can I support like internal Jenny? Externally, I have other supports, but internally, how can I help myself manage stress or deal with stress as it comes? Because you can't eliminate it.
Yeah.
This is just like another tool in the toolbox, as we say all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the beauty in this, is to give people tools.
Right.
Or at least expose them to tools. And I'm all about sharing is caring. So if I'm going to try it, you're probably going to hear about it if you sit down for a conversation with me.
Sharing is caring, like in Care a Lot from the Care Bears as a 1980s kid, right? Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But from what I've read, this is great for like people that experience PCOS. Mm-hmm. I know that they recommend really looking into that. If you're experiencing like extreme fatigue, obviously there are so many things that can cause these symptoms, but these are like simple things you can do. Like, you know, you can, we've got, we have a link on the website. If you go to the Lattice Podcast, .com, you will see our resources page. And we have a link where you can go and look at like exactly what foods you should be eating during each phase to help support yourself, types of exercise to engage in during each phase of your cycle. Same thing. If you download that 28 app, it tells you all the same stuff. Like, you're going to want to eat more nuts this phase, and you know, whatever, that you're going to want to reduce your alcohol consumption, those types of things. So it's just, those are so simple to implement. It is way simpler than like taking a daily medication or, you know,
right,
or being constantly stressed out and anxious and like dealing, that is so taxing.
Mm-hmm.
So do the small, easy things.
So since you've been, yeah. But since you've been doing, like, I'm sitting here in shock at some of the things that you're saying. I mean, what is like a few things, if you can give us some like nuggets, like that you've discovered through this, you know, that maybe is like a food that you were told to eat, or like an exercise you were told to do or not to do, that were just kind of like, huh, like shocking or like aha kind of moments with it? Like, has there been something that was just like, oh, that's weird?
The biggest ones. I think giving myself permission. I tend to be pretty hard on myself when I don't work out, right? I've been exercising since I was 13. And so if I skip a workout or skip two workouts, like I can shame spiral myself all day. Yeah. And so just more like, or if I don't go hard and do HIIT classes, like I used to do Orange Theory every single day religiously, like, especially in the summer when I'm not working, but always like at least three times a week. Like, I've always been a diehard, like HIIT kind of gal, cardio gal, love that, weight training. And I think what I've learned is to move with, like, listen to your body, listen to your intuition. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, knowing kind of what phase I'm in, like if I would have followed my general calendar, today would have been like a HIIT class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, my body just wasn't feeling it. I'm sore. I'm bloated. I'm tired. It's the end of the week. I did yoga this morning, right?
Oh,
gentle
cool.
Yoga. So like being more mindful and really trusting your intuition, listening to your body and saying like, I'm just not feeling it, not using it as an excuse, you know, because here's the thing. Next phase is menstruation. We know that lasts like 5 to 7 days, depending on each person. And then the phase after that, I can't remember off the top of my head what I think it's follicle phase. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Again, not an expert, not trying to be.
We don't even know what's going on in here right now. Is that
right? I'm like, I don't know.
I'm just sitting here like, what?
I know that as that's when your estrogen, like, you know, goes through the roof and comes back. And so like you have more energy, like that's when you're going to want to do like those high interval intensity classes or, you know, more weight training, that kind of stuff. So just really being cognizant of like where you're at in your cycle, what feels good for your body, and giving yourself permission not to like beat your body up every day. I think there's a time and a place for going hard, and there's a time and a place for being really gentle and giving yourself permission to be gentle. Also, the biggest thing, I tend to give in to like cravings, right? Because I don't want to deny myself any food group or particular foods. Like I just am trying to move away from like bad food, good food. It's like everything in moderation and just being cognizant. And so what I have read is that you should reduce your sugar intake during the phase that I'm currently in. So just being really mindful of that. Like, yes, I wanted to eat a piece of chocolate cake yesterday. I drove right past Nothing Bundt Cake on the way home. And I thought, ooh, I could just swirl right in there, grab us a Buntini and take that baby home. But I was like, no, like that's, I should actually give my body nutrition because that is actually what's going to help me and alleviate some of my symptoms rather than feeding it the sugar. Now the sugar dragon. So again, just, it's given me more information to make better decisions. I still had a piece of chocolate yesterday, but I didn't have like a chocolate cake. Right. You know? So like there's some, like piece of dark chocolate, not going to kill me, not going to like have crazy impact on my hormones. But you know, it's all about helping us make better choices.
Gosh, that's so cool. Definitely. Yeah. And I can see how just, again, the more that you're able to collect on this and observe, the healthier you're able to feel. And again, it's not like you're being asked to climb a mountain here. You're just learning a little bit more about truly our biology.
Exactly. How our bodies work.
Right, right. Which is so important. It's just astounding that we really don't get that much education on it. And I guess that the purpose is so that it's self-education, maybe. Like, that's what we all need to be better students of. But like, we're only required to take like what, one health class a year? And then we're just supposed to know how, like that's supposed to be a manual for how this thing works. And we get it in like high school and that's it. Like, that's such crap, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's just like also my question for health providers or, you know, not to like, I actually adore my OB. I love the practice that I go to. I've gone there for years. They delivered my babies. But like, why wasn't that part of her response? Not just like, yep, you're kind of drying up. This is the end, babe. Why wasn't it like, hey, have you ever thought about how you can support your hormones? Like, here's, go research this. Go look into, like, I'm not asking somebody to like do, give me the cliff notes, but mention these things so that it's not, so that it's a little bit more like it's in your control. Like sometimes I feel like we walk out of those, you know, those appointments and we're like, well, this is just out of my control. Like, this is how it is, you know, just this, what to expect. And it's like, no, damn it. Like we have so much more control than we give ourselves credit for. And I just wish that people were more open. And I'm sure, you know, there's a litany of reasons why she didn't mention it.
Sure.
Maybe it, she hadn't thought about it. Like, whatever. Right. We're human. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but I just wish that we got, even when I asked my GP about it, I was like, have you ever heard of cycle syncing? She was like, yeah, I read a little bit about it. Like, I'm not super familiar. You know, it's just those types of things. Like, are they being, you know, when people are going through medical school, is this something they're learning about? Like, clearly from what I've read, there's a ton of research. And so I'm just curious why it's not being put out there as like mainstream information, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does make sense. I think one thing, it seems like maybe more so within our culture, as opposed to others that I've, you know, been able to like go and see, the whole female body and like having periods and the whole cycle, whatever this whole thing is, I feel like it still has a sense of taboo in a way attached to it here that is not congruent with how things are in other places. And I'm not saying it's better, because I mean, you can look at news stories about other places and people getting like extra taxes for tampons or whatever else that kind of happens. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like that there is more open discussion on women's health in general in some mm-hmm. ways. But back in the day, whenever I used to practice, especially like in more of like a health psychology kind of realm, I would do public seminars or like, you know, lunch and learns for the community about how to use a doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. And that was the entire focus on a class, like what you can do to be a better, more proactive patient. Mm-hmm. And those seminars that I would do were often the ones that were like the best attended. I mean, I'd be doing a talk on like, I don't know, diabetes and diabetes month. And yeah, there'd be, you know, 20 or 30 diabetics in there. But whenever it was like how to utilize your doctor's appointment, it would be like a full 150 people, mm-hmm. you know, kind of coming in and yeah, and learning and listening about this. Or whenever people go to, again, I used to get referrals from a lot of GPs or family practice doctors, and then they were being referred on to specialty because they got diagnosed with something. And mm-hmm. so at that point, one of the things that we would work on is like, okay, well, you're getting ready to go into a specialty appointment. It's going to be a little bit different. Let's talk about expectations and what you can do to get the most out of these appointments. Because it's not taught. I don't think that it is taught on how to teach people to be better patients in medical school. Yeah, I've taught in medical schools. It's not part of the curriculum, at least in the two that I've taught at. So
what's interesting is that we tend to put physicians and medical staff like on this pedestal, right? Like they're so much smarter than everybody else and their time is so limited. They see so many patients and you're just kind of like, at least my experience has always been like a get in, get out, you know, your 15 minute window. They sweep mm-hmm. in, check your heart, they check your blood pressure, you know, listen to you breathe, ask you how you're doing, give you mm-hmm. a refill on your meds, like just a very like basic. And I go every 3 months. But when you step back and think about it, I don't know what everybody's insurance is like. I mean, we have decent insurance, but I pay $100, you know, and not including what my insurance pays. Roughly, I pay $100 for every one of these visits. Like, in what other realm would you accept not receiving much in exchange for $100? Right.
Yeah.
Not, you know, because the meds aren't free. Now I got to make a trip to the pharmacy too, actually, mm-hmm. and get the medication and pay for that too. And so like, we should be getting our $100 worth, like not mm-hmm. to sound like cheapo, but like that's $100. Like mm-hmm. you should think something in return for that, not just somebody listening to you breathe, check it. Like you can do that shit at home. Right. Get your husband to listen to your heart rate. You know, like that's not
your watch.
Like where's the specialty in that, right? Mm-hmm. Where is the right to be put up on a pedestal just because you can like take somebody's blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we start to reframe the way that, not that they don't deserve our respect, because that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying like, you should get your money's worth. And like when I went into my GP and said, hey, I would like to have my hormones tested. She's like, well, why? Like, do you have any concerns? I'm like, no, I just want like a baseline measure. Like you guys don't just take data. Like it's mm-hmm. data. It's information that's going to be in my file and I'll be able to refer back and look to see if things change and mm-hmm. help me better understand my body. But like, if you're not willing to go in and ask for things, and that's not my nature. I'm not generally like super, you know, persistent. I'm a very like go with the flow kind of gal. Mm-hmm. But as I get older, I'm like, no, I start to think about stuff and I'm like, this bullshit. Like we deserve better care for what we pay for medical care. Mm-hmm. We deserve top tier medical care. Mm-hmm. That person's not willing to give it to you. Thankful. She was like, yeah, let's do this. But like, if that person's not willing to meet you with what you're asking for, then that's not the right practitioner, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. And I still think that the point that you keep making, I think is so important, is that you took that information in there. You wanted to learn more about it. You were mm-hmm. being a very, again, proactive patient, advocating for yourself. And I think that that is the first step in us getting better healthcare, is mm-hmm. us coming in and not necessarily like demanding in a sense, but being an educated patient and coming to our provider with questions and, again, legitimate reasons for exploration. And I think in those cases, I mean, are they still going to have to meet medical necessity? Might there all kinds of other things are going to maybe serve as somewhat of blocks, but the fact that you are taking those steps, I think, is what opens the door for greater access to care. And now, 10 years down the road, let's say some shit goes down, you'll have that information and be like, and you'll be able to see percents and change. When do things start to happen? You know what I mean? It's just, it's always going to be there. And that is going to be so helpful. And so I think that whenever you have an interest in your own general health, that you get from whatever source it is, taking it in and being a proactive patient with your doctor and then starting to do the work is the best thing you can do to get on that whole wellness pathway. And so, and now look where it's got you. You got the app, you're doing it all.
I'm doing the thing. I will say I was, and I could have totally just been making this up. I mean, you know, I don't know this for sure. I never asked her, but she seemed like jazzed that I was, that I wanted data and information and wanted this. And so I think maybe too, you know, cause I can assume if you're seeing the same patients and like you're doing the same thing that I just described, like that shit gets old. I mean, it does. And so like you want somebody to come in and be like, hey, let's explore this. Like I'm this age. I know this is like an issue. Something coming up. Like, I feel like I would be pretty pumped if somebody came in and was like, let's be proactive about something here instead of reactive about everything. I didn't come in there diagnosing myself with perimenopause. I didn't come in there giving myself, you know, asking for some specific medication. I just wanted information, period. And I think that sort of like, I don't know. She was just like, yeah, we should.
Yes.
Which is what I think that's what I wanted. I wanted her to be that way.
Right. Well, and I think you're 100% right. You didn't come in there with your Google diagnosis. You know what I mean? No. And you weren't in the, Google Doc. And, you know, the negative term that we used to use for was med seeking. It's not like you're coming in there med seeking. Yeah. And so I think as long as we're not, I think you're 100% right. Because my colleagues throughout my career were not other psychologists. Hell, I barely worked with other psychologists. I worked with my colleagues. My pool that I swim in is physicians. I work with GPs. I work with specialty. They would, nothing would get on their nerves more than somebody coming in with a Google diagnosis. And then they would come in with a Google diagnosis and what medication they should be prescribed to treat the Google diagnosis. But if you go in there just wanting information, they will, most of the time, they will absolutely be happy to indulge because that's what they're actually trained in, you know, is to kind of go through this whole exploration process and to have somebody who's also interested in it. It does. It jazzes them up for the rest of the time. And so
kind of reignites that passion of why you got into that field in the first place. Like even taking it from a school perspective, we're going way off topic here, but like... Same thing. If somebody comes in and they're like, hey, I know my kid has autism. Like, I'm like, then why do you need me? Why do all the testing and like investigation? Like you've already decided what's wrong.
You know?
So same thing. Like if we would just come in and be like, look, I have some concerns. Can we explore this? You know, the end, like you're so much more willing to go there and like put in the effort than somebody that has already done your job. You know, they can already do it better than you. Why do they need your expertise? Why'd you even go to school and pay all that money? Like, why?
Seriously.
When Joe Blow down the street can make that determination.
Yes, exactly. No. So this is cool. And I think it highlights two points is that, you heard about this topic from different areas, but then you really were very introspective and you took the right steps to make this a healthy decision for you. And I just think that that speaks to what we're trying to promote here is total educated, informed, shared wellness based upon our own interests and experiences. And then how that can then, you know, affect us as individuals, our families, the greater community. So that was big stuff.
Yeah. I mean, give yourself some power back, right? Don't just... don't accept that this is how it is.
And don't dry up.
Don't dry up and die. Fuck that. It's all connected, you know, our gut, our brain, our mind, it's all connected. And so you've just got to be proactive as much as you can. And like I said, I'm willing to try anything. I'll do anything, try anything. But you know, you got to do some research on the front end and know your body, listen to your body and go from there. I drink my green juice every day. Like I'll do anything to keep this machine well oiled in more ways than one, you know.
It is a machine. That's right.
But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm into it, man. It's so far so good.
I love it. I love the information too. It's fun. So we'll look for a follow-up on this and see how
it goes. Yeah, let us know. Go to our website, go to lilaspodcast.com. Check us out on social media at The Lilas Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Check us out everywhere. And just let us know if this is something you are yourself trialing, if it's something you have interest in and you would like for us to find an expert and try to get them on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I would love to personally to do a follow-up just because I'm into it, but I want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies.
Yeah, this will be our time. We'll also post that app that you used to, because I think that sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. Like it sounds like totally legit. Like if it's going to give you a link to like research, then that's better than just, you know, a paid actor talking about something. So,
and it'll tell you, I mean, I didn't even touch on all of the areas that it gets into, but like self-talk, it talks about your creativity, your beauty, your social, your career. Like it gives you insight. It's not saying, it's not like a horoscope, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not knocking horoscopes. Don't come after me. Like I'm just saying, like it gives you information about your body. You're like, obviously I know when I'm bloated, but like it's going to tell you more about your hormones, what they're doing, how it's affecting you mentally, emotionally, physically. And that to me is the information piece. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's good stuff. So anyway,
Check it out. Good talk.
Love talking about the old menstruation.
Breaking down walls, folks. Like we said, it may be a little taboo, but hey, we did it. And our website is going to have that link to the resource on the whole cycle syncing too, because it is so good, easy to understand. Great intro to this whole thing if you're interested in learning more about it, for sure. So
okay. All right. That's all for this week. Until next time, Lilas.
Peace out.